OK，第十，next key，I think this paper just appear. This paper says OK if yeah it OK this OK first you write OK remember C2 OK you can write a V OK so before I talk about this one maybe I should mention concept you see in, for this VOE we have this one N belong to Z OK we have vertex or presuppose and U OK UM VN where is this going out what's the weight of this operator. This will go to V with U minus M minus 1 plus N. So in other words, if U is homogeneous, this one has a degree. This one has a degree. Okay, so if you recall what is C2V, this one equal to U minus 2V and UV belong to V. Okay, so this one, so because you can take it, this homogeneous, this U is homogeneous. Therefore, this space is a homogeneous subspace. It's a homogeneous subspace. So what I can do is that, okay, you can choose, okay, select, and V just equal to C2V plus, okay, CX, okay, where X just, okay, this direct sum, where X, you can just choose X is just choose a basis. You just set X, I, and I belong to I. Okay, I can also assume each xi is homogeneous. Because this one is a subspace, I can choose, you know, just the complement, you know, just choose the complement, I can choose this space surrounded by x, but I can choose basis. Each element of basis is a homogeneous vector. Okay, once you have this one, their theorem says, in fact, okay, and their theorem says, okay, V is generated by X as a set, you know, okay. In fact, we have even better result. V is spanned by, you can consider X, A1 minus N1, X, AK minus NK, X on 1, where, and AJ belong to I, and N1 bigger than NK, NK bigger than or equal to 1. Okay, so in other words, in this case, not just it's just a set of generators, but in fact, V has a very good spanning set. Tell you, this condition is non-repeat condition. In alpha algebra, these two index can be the same. You know, this letter X minus 1 can square, but here they're different. Strictly, you know, this one, like this one, second number, strictly big, you know, I think bigger than, but it's minus, you know, direction. This result is something significant. Because it not just tell you VO is finally generated, and also tell you, give you kind of some kind of PVW theorem. But of course, we don't know if they are linearly independent. In fact, there are counter examples. This set is not linearly independent, but it does give you a good spanning set for this VOE. Okay, so next I talk about a connection between and VOEs and this affine algebras and also finite dimensional Lie algebras. So next I talk about VOEs and I think just Lie algebras. And in order to do this one, from now on I assume V always direct sum of VN N from 0 to infinity, and then V0 is one dimension spanning vacuum. In fact, all good affine VOEs, Virchow VOEs, lattice VOEs, or W algebra, all these kind of good examples, this is always true. The bottom level is one dimensional, is spanned by the so-called vacuum. Okay, so in this case, okay, and a general result, I think, Bartle, which says you consider V, you consider L minus 1 V. This one is always a Lie algebra. If you consider this U V, this is just equal to U 0 V, zero mode, because I have vertex operator Y U Z equal to U N, you know, this is just how you define product. This is Lie algebra. Okay, but if you look at this one, this is immediately you can see, in this case, because L minus 1 acts on vacuum equal to 0, so immediately you can see this V1 is a D-algebra. Okay, V1 is a D-algebra again in this case, and UV just equal to U0V. Okay, this is a D-algebra. Of course, the question is, what kind of D-algebra do you expect here? What kind of D-algebra do you expect here? Okay, there are too many, you know, different D-algebras. Okay, so here I just, did a result. This is Mason, I think, probably just 2 to 3, okay. Okay, the first thing, okay, we assume, in fact, this V1 can be arbitrary, but for good views, you will know what is V1. Okay, assume V is a regular. Do you remember regular is equivalent to and rational and also plus C2 cofinite? Okay, the reason we need this assumption is the following. Okay, for all good VOEs, usually you have this modularity. But in original proof of modularity, you need both conditions. Even conjecturally, these conditions are equivalent. You only need one of these. But at this point, we don't know. Okay, if this one is regular, then the first thing is that V1 is always reductive. This one is always reductive D-algebra. Okay, it's a reductive D-algebra. Once you have reductive D-algebra, you always have a rank. Reductive D-algebra is a direct sum of semi-simple D-algebra and abelian D-algebra. So you have rank. In this case, okay, so what's the rank? And the rank of V1 is less than or equal to C tilde. Okay, I just give a name for this one. I just explain what is this one. C tilde is what is this so-called effective central charge. Okay, so here, what is the effective central charge? Effective central charge. In this case, you see, is rational. V only has finite many reduced modules. In this case, so let M1 and Mn be the irreducibles. Okay, then you can show that in this case Mi always equal to direct sum with decomposition I and lambda I plus n from 0 to infinity. And then here, M lambda I is not 0. Okay, this is L0 eigenspace decomposition. L0 eigenspace decomposition is a weight module. Okay, and all in fact, and the lambda I is always rational numbers. Okay, so what's the effective central charge? Okay, C tilde, this is equal to original C minus 24 lambda mean. What's lambda mean? Lambda mean just equal to minimum I lambda I. Because each of these rational number, you just talk about which one is smallest one. This is called effective central charge. So this just tell you, not just reductive, also tell you what's the possible rank. Rank is bounded by the effective central charge. Okay, the second thing is the following. The second thing is, in this case, okay, if W is any V module, then it implies W is a semi-simple and a V1 module. This is how it acts. Here you consider V belong to V1, yes, V goes to and V0, degree 0 operator. Degree 0 operator, okay? So this one is not obvious. I just tell you why it's not obvious. Because you have reductive D-algebra. Give any module reductive, not every module for reductive D-algebra completely reducible. This theorem says it's completely reducible even for semi-simple for reductive part also. Okay? So this is just a degree zero operator. This is like a D-algebra. When you use this operator, you define the D-algebra operation. But when this operator acts on module, you define module for this five-dimensional Lie algebra. Okay, this is the second part. The third part is, okay, tell you, okay, so here I said, okay, these two in general are this less than or equal to this one. What's the extreme case? Extreme case is they're equal. Is that right? Extreme, what is the extreme case? Okay, the extreme case, okay, the rank of V1 equal to the effective center charge if and only if this happens, if and only if V must be equal to V error for some error. This morning I defined a lattice vertex operator algebra for positive definite even lattice. Okay? If this happens if and only if V must be lattice vertex operator algebra. There are no choice. Okay, so this one basically tell you, okay, so from this, okay, from this theorem, you can write, okay, in this case, you can write V1, you can always write equal to G, the same simple part, and the abelian part, okay, because it's a reductive.
This is a new characterization for lattice
VOA. So in other words, for lattice vertex, you only use two numerical values. If these two values are equal, they are lattice VOAs. If they are not equal, they are not lattice VOAs. Okay? So now you have this semi-simple part and the abelian part. Okay? The question, okay, now I want to see, this is how you can see the other algebra inside the VOA. Okay? So you want to do this one, I can consider more general situation. I know V1 is a Lie algebra. Okay? Now I don't care if V1 is reductive. I just assume V1 contains a simple Lie algebra. Let's see what can we see. Okay? So, okay, in order to see, okay, I want to see what is kind of alpha algebra being said here generated by V1. In order to do this one, okay, I assume that G is a simple subalgebra of V1. And here, I do not assume even V1 is semi-simple. I pick just, you know, suppose V1 contains a simple subalgebra. Okay, suppose this contains subalgebra. Here, you want to see how alpha algebra enter the picture appears here, okay? Okay, if you want to hear simple subalgebra, I think in a previous lecture, you talk about, you know, in this case, I use this one, it's just G, this equal to G, C, T inverse, direct sum of CK, notation a little bit different, okay? I choose this notation just consistent with Cass's book, so Cass used this big K, okay, with level, you know, with small K. I just consider this one, okay? And when this one, and also, I think, previous lecture, you normalize the bilinear form, so the square length of long root is 2, okay? So in this case, you have this level concept. Okay, so normally this one, I just repeat this one, it's x tensor t to m, y tensor t to n, this is equal to x, y tensor t to m plus n plus, this is and m, and x, y, and delta m plus n 0 k. Okay, so this, okay, if you have irreducible module, this kx as a constant, it is called level. Okay, if w is irreducible and a G hat module, and then this K must equal to some small constant. This is called level. Okay, of course, one here still needs to be a lie. You know, there are some, you need some, you want to make sure this X and K constant, you know. But it's okay, it's a fixed constant. Okay, now suppose I think that G is sitting in V1, because I know V1 is reductive with G, suppose sitting in V1, okay. If you have, for any, in this case, you have V and G, you have this Y and VZ equal to VN and Z minus N minus 1, and belong to Z. You have a natural operator associated to V. Okay? So in this case, you can check this one is what is this bracket relation. UM and VN, this one were equal to U0V and M plus N plus this one is U1V. Okay, in fact, U1V, this here, this one will go, this part belongs to the V0. Okay, but the V0 is a one dimension, so it's a multiple of one. So in fact, this part defines unit product. But this unit product may not be standard unit product, because here, this one, you should consider this one equal to this whole thing. Okay, I forgot about M. I should see M delta M plus N zero. Okay, there's this term. Okay, so you should consider this one, this whole thing, U Y A V equal to X times Y times level. Okay, so this form is different. Okay, but it has different form. So this is how affine algebra enter in this picture. Okay. Now the question is you want to ask is the following. Okay, so the question is, so from this one you can see, okay, this G hat, in fact, this V is a G hat module. How you go? This one, you have this here, you have V tensor T to M. Just go to and then V to M, because I have vertical group here already. This gives you affine algebra module. The point, of course, is what's the level? It's obvious level can be anything. As, you know, this morning, you know, I give you examples. If you give any non-zero k, you construct a vertex algebra. Okay? So the question is, okay, but for good view is, I want to tell you, okay, this one thing, okay, so this module, this one, first is, what is k, what is level k? Second thing, you can see universal humanity algebra, this one, x on vacuum. X on vacuum, I think this one will be the quotient of Kerr-Sweet module. Okay, this one, this notation I use, this one will be, this one equal to a quotient. I use this VK, this more than my notation. VK, a quotient of this one. Okay? Or you can, this is just like a, I think MK lambda 0, if you want to use, I think, a previous lecture notation. MK lambda 0, if you want to use previous notation. Okay? Quotient of this one, but which quotient? Okay? And which K? Okay, so here I just state the theorem. Okay, this says, okay, this U and G hat 1 is always equal to L K, I should say equal to L. I think just okay. I choose equal to L K, and I think in the previous lecture, it's called L maximum. Okay, L K lambda zero for some. So in other words, the representation for alpha algebra is always integrable and unitary. Okay, I forget the subject. If V is C2 cosine. If it's C2 cosine, then you can show the in particular K is a positive non-negative integer. Level is always non-negative integer, and also this one is unitary. In fact, I think this result has to be used, always assumed, if you read the paper of physics, they always assume this result. Affine algebra representation occurs in, carry algebra always unitary. They just assume K is a non-negative integer. Okay, so it's about, this C2 cofinite, you can apply this one. In particular, you can apply to this theorem. You can see what kind of subalgebra. If you consider V1, you consider V1 hat and the universal imaginary algebra. This one in particular tell you what is this subview generated by this space. Okay, so next I move to so-called so-called contributing modules. Because this one also I need to use this one in the construction of view bundles, okay. Contrigradient. Is this correct spelling? Okay, contrigradient module. I think the major problem, I think, in VU theory is, you see, when you study classical, I think, theory, you always have this so-called positive definite invariant by linear form. Or you can talk about unitary. But for VU, we don't have unitary, the concept of unitary, I think, representation. We don't have this concept. So instead, we are going to use by linear form. But the disadvantage to use by linear form is for every subspace, you can consider orthogonal complement. But orthogonal complement, maybe, you know, is the intersection of orthogonal complement with, you know, Orange of Smith, you know, may not be zero. This disadvantage of use bilinear form. But anyway, this is the only thing we have available. In order to study so-called induced bilinear form, first let's talk about a contour gradient module. Now we suppose M equal to M lambda, and the lambda belongs to C, is a V module. Okay, then contour gradient dual, lambda belongs to C, okay, M lambda star. This is just a linear map from M lambda to C. Okay, because for ordinary module, we assume each homogeneous is finite dimensional. So here, so there is no problem. It's just finite dimensional. Okay, so then we have natural pairing. Okay, we have M prime cross M. Let's go to C. Okay. I just use this one. I just W prime W for natural pairing because it's just a gradient dual. Okay. Then here I see the result. This is by and Frankel, Huang, Lepofsky. Okay. The proof, in fact, this M prime is also a V module. In the following way, you consider y u z x on w prime w. This is defined in w prime y e to z l 1 minus z minus square l 0. And this is u and z inverse w. Okay, this is how we define this so-called contour gradient module. You define this how x on due space. You use this non-degenerate pairing. You just transfer action here, then this define a so-called contour gradient module. In fact, this formula first appeared in Borchers' paper. Y e to z to L1 minus z minus 2L0 x on u z inverse. Okay, so now we can define so-called what is the module has a non-degenerate bilinear form. Okay? Invariant form, okay? If just your previous formula, just replace M prime by M. You just require this identity true. I should maybe use M. Just both are M. Suppose there is a bilinear form satisfying this condition. Okay, and here again, I see the result tell you in which case VOE has a bilinear form, invariant bilinear form. Okay, so this is a result of Lee. I think it's like 80 something, maybe 2 early, 94. Okay, 94 says, okay. In fact, if you want to consider bilinear form of VOE, this form of vector space. Just give any vector space, this is the bilinear form. Okay, the space, okay, I should say, the dimension of space of invariant form on V, this is equal to dimension V0 L1 V. Okay, this V0 L1 V pushed down V1 go to this down to V0, this up to V0, depends on this dimension. So in other words, there are dimensions. So when I assume, you know, if I assume good VOE, this one is equal to zero, this one dimension, so they're always unique basic Bernoulli form. Okay. Okay, another thing I want to mention is another, you can also from this one, you can also see a corollary, okay? Any V module M can be embedded okay, any V module M can be embedded into a V module with a non-degenerate invariant Bernoulli form. Okay, so what you can do is that you can consider M direct sum M prime. Use obvious, you know, I think pairing, this like simplex structure, M with M equal to zero, M prime with M prime equal to zero, M and M prime is non-degenerate pairing. Okay, and this one I think is useful in, I think in the next lecture. So basically, if you have a bundle, there exists another bundle, so the sum is trivial bundle. You need to use this result. Okay, so, okay, this is about so-called contiguity module. Next, let's move to so-called fusion product. Fusion product is a new concept in VO theory. The main difference is if you consider, you know, affine algebra or Virchow algebra, when I consider tensor product modules, the level changes or center charge changes. But here you want a tensor product, the center charge doesn't change. Okay? So in other words, this is just tensor product inside of VOE modules, not in affine algebra module or Virchow modules. Okay? So in order to do this one, let's just first define so-called, you know, tiny operators. And then the fusion product will be a universal object in a, module category. Okay, so what is so-called tiny operators? Okay, you can use this definition to realize the classical tensor product. Okay, but here is the definition, you know, tiny operators. Here is the definition of tiny operator. Suppose, let, and M1, M2, M3 be V modules. Okay? And a map Y from M1 go to comp this C, M2, M3. Oh, I should use this 2, 3. Okay, this means power theory Z. But the power can be arbitrary power, not necessarily integral powers. Can be rational power, can be even complex power, it doesn't matter. Each coefficient here, okay, so this W go to Y and W Z, this is equal to W N Z minus N minus 1, N belong to C. In this case, each W N is a linear transformation. It's just a linear map from M2 to M3. Okay? And satisfy the following condition. Okay? So for any, let's see, okay? And WI belong to MI, for some reason I should choose, you know, WI consistently. Okay, this I, and, okay, I should, let's see.
this one, yeah.
Okay, here I just, okay, for this one, okay, the first thing is I should see, okay, and W1 and this lambda plus n and W2, this should equal to 0, and lambda belongs to C, and n belongs to Z, and n is just very, very large. You require this condition, some kind of truncated condition. So you want to make sure the infinite sum makes sense. Okay. And the second thing is you want to and L minus 1 and W 1 and Z, this equal derivation. You want this condition. Okay. The third condition is Jacobi identity. Or in this case, commutativity, associativity, you need both. Okay. So, okay. Let me just write down Jacobi identity. I write a different way. Maybe if you don't like it, it's okay. Okay. Otherwise, I just say, okay, this one, I write Z0 inverse delta Z1 minus Z2 Z0. This fraction, of course, more my notation. Okay. So it's like a Y. Okay, in this case, I said y3, okay, uz, and y, w1, and this is z1, and z2, minus z0 inverse, delta z2 minus z1, and minus z0, and this is y, and w1, and z2, but this is y2, and uz1, I will tell you what it is, okay. Equal to Z2 inverse delta Z1 minus Z0 and Z2 and Y and Y1 and UZ and W1 and Z, this Z0 and Z2. This is X on, of course, W on M2. Okay, you see, this one, well, okay, here I should see, okay. I could replace this by two so-called commutative key, associative key, this morning I used, okay? So what is the y? Okay, here I consider m, I just equal to m, I, and y, I. Operator, just m, I, y, I. So here you see the Jacobi, you see the identity. So first, this one, x on w2, you go to, x on m2, you go to m3, so it's m3. So here you x on this m2, then apply your tiny operator. So here this is again m1, again use y1. Just you know module, just give it the module notation. Okay, so okay, I just read it. This time I read, I think Jacobi identity. I just want to make sure people when people see this next time, maybe it should not feel too bad. Of course, I can replace this one by commutativity and associativity. So what's delta function? Delta function is delta z is always equal to and z to n, n belong to z. Again, and any time I consider zi minus zj and n's power, this is by definition, this is just equal to, and this is m bigger than or equal to 0, and this is n, I, and this is, okay, this is z, oh, m, and this is zi and n minus I and minus zj, oh, I think it's M. Yes, M. This is just definition. Formal definition. This is just formal definition. This one, what is this one? Okay. And then NM just equal to N, N minus M plus 1 and M factorial. Here N can be any complex number and of course M should be bigger than or equal to 0. So this notation defined for any complex number N. So this just makes sense. Okay. So this again tell you when I see this one. So but the important thing is z1 minus z2 minus 1 is not equal to minus z2 plus z1 minus 1. Again because expansion. according to this one, when I say, you know, this always expanding non-negative integral power of second variable. Okay? As long as you write it this way, order matters. Let's see, it just depends on you expand in which domain. Like I mentioned this morning about this, like, you know, what is the peak residue. Okay, so once you have this one, so you can, okay, so what you can, this one's A, this is M3, M1, M2, this is equal to space of intertwining operators of type, I should say previous, you know, satisfied collision of type, I call this M3, M1, M2. Just this equals all the intertwining operators from vector space. Okay? And this again definition. This is called N, M1, M2. Yeah, actually. M1 and M2, M3. This is called fusion numbers, fusion rules. This is called fusion rules. The dimension of this intertwining operator is called fusion rules. Okay? So now I define what is tensor product. Okay, then you, okay, and a V module are called a W together with a intertwining operator of okay, of type M1, M2, this is W. Okay, intertwining operator here, I give just I. Okay, I just, okay, this is intertwining, okay. It's called a tensor product of M1 and M2 if the following universal matching property holds. Okay. What are the universal matching properties? Okay. If M3 is any V module and Y is a intertwining operator of type M3 and M1, M2. Okay, then there exists unique V module homomorphism F such that, okay, I just read here instead that, okay. Okay. This such that, okay, so you have two intertwining operators, okay? So what you have is that, so Y should equal to what? Should equal to I, then times, then F. Oh, I should see. Yeah. Oh, okay. I did not tell you. Okay. V module homomorphism F from V from W. Yeah, from W to M3 such that, and you have this Y equal to just I and F. Okay, of course, universal matching property then, of course, guarantee such things is unique if it exists. Okay, so this tensor product. I think in literature, for example, Frankel, I think Lepofsky and Huang, they denote this one, W just equal to M1 cross M2. Okay, so here let's just see an example. Okay, so here let's see an example. The example is the following. Okay, suppose if V is rational, again, we suppose M1 and Mn and M1, Mn are the irreducible modules. Okay, in this case, what's the tensor product? Mi cross is Mj. This just equal to the sum k from 1 to n. This is I, M, k, and Mi, and Mj, and the tensor, and the MK. This just based on the tiny operators, and this exactly the tensor product. Okay, this just you just verify directly, verify this one has universal matching properties. The uniqueness, this one of course they are the same. Okay, so here I state a result, a theorem. I Lepofsky, I think there are many, I think many papers in several years, you know, I think like I just, okay, many years. Okay, and if V is a regular, I just put this here, V is regular, and then the tensor, okay, if I write it this way, okay, maybe I should see, okay. So, while stating it this way, okay, it's almost trivial to prove this tensor product is commutative. Mj tensor, Mi tensor, Mj equals Mj tensor, Mi. But his non-trivial proof, this product is associative. Okay, you want to prove associative, you need some kind of differential equation to prove this one. For example, in the alpha algebra case, you need this Kz equation. Okay, but in any case, what I said, okay, if V is regular, then the tensor product is associative. Is associative. Because it's associative, so then you can define in this case, you can define so-called fusion algebra. Fusion algebra, just as a space, you can just F, just equal to sum, just Z, you can just use Z and M, I, and I from 1 to N, I keep the same notation. Okay, then you can just define M I times M J. This just equal to. Okay, why write this one? Okay, you need another theorem. Okay, but I'll tell you what this another theorem. This just equal to and M I. Why writing this way? I assume implicitly that this space is finite dimensional. Okay, this vector space, this vector space. This is just a multiplicity space. The tensor is a module, this is a multiplicity of MK in a tensor product. Okay, but you see, I didn't tell you why this space it's finite dimension. But when I write the fusion algebra, when I write it in this way, I assume, you know, this, in fact, this is finite dimensional. But it's true, it's a theorem. This is a theorem of this is a theorem of Gabdiel. And also Bill. Okay. And this theorem says, okay, if V is C2 cosine, then all this, I think this dimension, this is called NG, IJ, K, this is equal to dimension. This always affine numbers. Okay, so this guarantees when you define the fusion algebra, there are no problems. This just makes sense. Because this one, this is just equal to k from 1 to n, and n, I, j, k, and m, k. This is the definition of fusion algebra. Okay, I guess that's all I need about the VUE theory. So I need a fusion product. And the reason I mentioned fusion product, because, okay, and, okay, yeah, in fact, I need another result, I think, okay, in the future. Now, I mentioned fusion product because when I define K-theory, I think in this case, you have two bundles. There are two different tensor products. One tensor product is the fusion product. Another tensor product is just the ordinary tensor product. Okay, but ordinary tensor product in this case is not quite, you know, same as classical case. So therefore, I need to recall the tensor product VUEs also for the future purpose. Okay, so here, okay, I need to. Okay, so here I just again it's just okay. Let and V1, V2, and VK be VOEs. Maybe I should, yeah, if I write in this way, it's maybe not very good. I just said VI, YI, and 1, I just use omega I, be VOEs. Of course, I just from 1 to K, okay? So in this case, okay, and V1 tensor VK again is a VOE. It's again a result of Frankel, Huang, and Lepowski. I think this is the same manuscript, I think it's 91. Okay. Okay, so then basically how you define Y? Well, the Y, just the Y, you can consider this V1 and Z. Maybe I should say, yeah, let's Y. V1 tensor VK and Z. In this case here, of course, VI belongs to VI. Okay? So this one just equal to Y1 and V1 and Z tensor Y2 and V2 Z and tensor and YK and VK Z. Okay? Just component wise. You know, just action. What is this? Okay, one, in this case, just one tensor one. Okay? Okay, so in this case, what is omega? Omega in this case just equal to omega one tensor one. I use omega i, omega 1 tensor, 1 tensor, 1 plus 1 tensor, omega 2 tensor, just tensor 1. Okay, so in this way, and this tensor product is a vertex orbit algebra. Okay, this one is a vertex operator algebra again. And by the way, I think Steve will ask, you know, if you know, I should give a homework problem. Okay, homework problem. Set slide. Okay. Okay, and by the way, you should not try to prove Jacobi identity. It's almost impossible to prove this directly. You should try to prove commutativity, associativity. The commutativity, associativity for each tensor factor is true. It's almost trivial to prove commutativity and associativity true for the tensor product. But it's equivalent to Jacobi identity. Okay, I think I'll stop here. I have enough from VOE, and then VOE bundles. VOE bundles, basically, I just say, give vertex operator algebra, how it defines VOE bundles, and also discusses their properties, and also examples. Okay, thank you.